have finally made it to week one. We are just a couple days away from the Patriots opener of the 2022 season against the Dolphins. Welcome everyone to Title Talk episode 5. I am your host, Jordan Haddock. We are switching it up a little bit this week. For this episode, episode 5, we're going to stick to strictly Patriots talk. We're going to recap the past couple of weeks of just the roster moves, the roster cuts, what the roster looks like headed into week one. And then we'll finish this episode off with a full week one preview against the Dolphins. And then a little bit later this week, we're going to release our normal episode of the Bruins, Red Sox, Celtics, all encompassing one episode where we go in detail each team and what's happened over the course of the last couple of weeks. So if you're here for the Patriots content, definitely stay tuned. If you're here for our normal content, be on the lookout for that episode a little bit later. But when we get back from this short break, we're going to hop right into some of the roster cuts that we saw and some of the surprise cuts that the Patriots went through just a couple weeks ago. So before we hop right into the week one preview against the Dolphins, just to note, obviously you guys all know on the 30th of August, the Patriots had to cut down to 53 man roster. I think they were somewhere around 80 players. And so they had to whittle it down, you know, to roughly, cutting roughly 30 players. So there was a lot of guys that were unfortunately going to be left off the opening day roster. Really the only notable guys that I just wanted to go over quickly, one on the defensive end, five on the offensive end. Defensively, cornerback Terrence Mitchell, he was a vet guy that was signed this past offseason to kind of hopefully, in an attempt to supplement J.C. Jackson's absence this season. Obviously, that didn't work out. Bill cuts him before the season even starts. He was, I think his age is certainly catching up to him. He's 30 now. Being 30 in the secondary, you got to be able to keep up with those quick receivers. Speed is everything in this day and age, at least in the NFL, on the offensive end. So I'm sure that had a little bit to do with it. But I was definitely surprised with this one just because of how young our cornerback core is. Guys like Jack Jones, Marcus Jones, two rookies expected to have pretty prominent roles on the defensive end. And then if you just look around, other than that, you've got Miles Bryant, Sean Wade, and Jalen Mills really to round out that cornerback core. Obviously, you've got Devin McCourty in the safety department who, generally has the defense in check and keeps the defense in check, has for years now. But I did think that with the lack of depth that we have at cornerback and the lack of leadership we have at cornerback with Malcolm Butler and Juwan Williams both going down with injuries, that they would probably try to make room for Terrence Mitchell just to provide a little bit of veteran leadership. Evidently, I was wrong, and it looks like we're going pretty young. I assume Belichick knows that Jack Jones and Marcus Jones are going to be able to step up. Jack Jones specifically has been touted, at least in training camp and preseason, as a star in the making. And I think a couple reports have suggested that he might be able to even crack into the starting lineup, not far into the season. I think right now he is not going to be starting in the secondary, but he'll certainly have him and Marcus Jones will certainly have some pretty big roles in the defense this year. So that was really the only big cut on defense. On offense, you had J.J. Taylor and Kevin Harris, two running backs. J.J. Taylor, obviously, a pretty well-known name in New England, just really didn't have too much of a role here this season. Some people thought maybe with James White retiring, he might be able to fill that role, but it looks like Ty Montgomery, who got hurt earlier in the offseason, is going to be okay for possibly week one, but at least isn't going to be hurt for too long. And so I think they kind of just had to pick one. And Ty Montgomery seems to be more established in that receiving game than J.J. Taylor. And then Kevin Harris, he was just selected by the Pats this past draft, along with Pierre Strong. Pierre Strong makes the roster. Kevin Harris is cut. Again, it's more just about how crowded the running back depth chart is. You have Damien Harris, Rhamondre Stevenson. If you've got Ty Montgomery coming back sooner rather than later, there's your third. Pierre Strong, there's your fourth. You tend to not carry more than four running backs on your roster. So that really is all I see from the cuts. I don't think it has anything to do with their skill set. I think Kevin Harris is actually a really talented back, and I'm glad that both of them ended up on the practice squad. Neither of them were claimed, and they were both relegated to the practice squad. So we might see them later on in the season if some injuries occur. In the receiving department, Lil Jordan Humphrey and Trey Nixon both cut and both relegated to the practice squad. I was surprised with Lil Jordan Humphrey both at the cut because of how well he performed in training camp and in the preseason games, especially on special teams, highlighted by that play he had. And I believe it was week two against, it was against the Panthers, I believe. That play he had where he dove and got the punt and it ended up, getting down to like the 1 yard line. You know, those types of plays Belichick loves. And I thought that honestly alone might keep him on the roster for opening day, but I was wrong. I'm glad to see him on the practice squad. I was surprised he wasn't claimed by a receiver needy team. You know, he looked really good in the preseason and in training camp. And so I'm surprised the team didn't take a flyer on him. Everyone passed on him. And so he gets relegated to the practice squad. And then Trey Nixon as well. I didn't really see a spot for Trey Nixon on this team. He certainly has the same types of abilities as Humphrey. He's very dynamic. He's got punt return, kick return, possibly in his future. Great special teams guy. So again, you know, these two kind of have similar skill sets. They're very versatile with their play. But when you're looking at the receiving core of the Patriots right now with Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, obviously the return of Tyquan Thornton eventually will, you know, supplement the core even more. And then you've got Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. There's just a lot of mouths to feed. There's not one big mouth to feed. There's a lot of, okay guys on the team. You know, that's what we were kind of talking about last year of like there wasn't that star guy. And it doesn't really seem like we have that guy again. But when you get six or seven guys that can catch the ball and, give Mac Jones, some targets, you don't need to add these two younger guys, inexperienced Trey Nixon and Lil Jordan Humphrey, to the team right now. But again, with injuries with Tyquan Thornton, I'm not sure. Maybe you'll see one of them up in his absence. But aside from that, those are really only the big cuts. The last guy I should mention, Devin Asiasi. We did a whole segment on Dalton Keene being cut a couple weeks ago because he was drafted in the third round of the 2020 draft, third round pick. You're expecting him to have at least a little bit of impact on the team. You know, a guy like Gabriel Davis, we mentioned on the Bills, is their number two now, and he's, you know, kind of forming into this breakout star. He was drafted after Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi. And so now you've got both Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi cut, both the Patriots' third-round picks in 2020. Both tight ends are gone, and so we're not going to go through the spiel again about how Belichick's draft record is pretty abysmal, but that was disappointing to see as well. We didn't really get to see too much of either of them, and I had kind of had wished Asiasi would have stayed. He was claimed by the Bengals, so he's not getting practice squatted. He's hopefully going to get a chance. I feel for rookies that come through New England sometimes because it seems like they never get a true chance to show, what they have. They walked into a Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith tight end depth chart, and so it was definitely hard to break through. So I'm hoping with the Bengals, who kind of lack in that department with just Hayden Hurst, I'm hoping he can see some time and get some reps in there because I think it'll be I think he's a good player from what we saw with him with the Pats. But aside from that, those are all the real major cuts. You know, we kind of went through them pretty quickly, but again, I'm sure you guys have already heard all the takes and all of the notes from the roster cuts. When we get back from this quick break, we're going to then jump into week one. It's finally here. Week one preview against the Dolphins. What do we want to watch for? How can the Patriots pull out a victory? And do they need to pull out this victory to kind of instill some excitement and some confidence into Patriots Nation? So we've finally gotten to week one after a long, grueling training camp and preseason, offseason, whatever. We're finally here. We're just a couple days away from the Patriots' week one matchup against the Dolphins. They're headed to Miami. They've already gotten there, actually, as we're recording this. Hard Rock Stadium, home of the Dolphins, has been kind of a house of horrors for the Patriots in years past. They're 2-7 in the 9 games they've played there, highlighted by the Miami Miracle that occurred in 2019. I'm sure all of you remember that. I don't even have to go over that game. But it's safe to say that whether it's Brian Flores or the weather or whatever it may be, outside influences, beating out coach, I don't know what it is, but the Patriots have struggled a lot to play in Miami. They're currently on a 3-game losing streak to the Dolphins as a whole, not just in Miami, but in total. They've lost 3 games in a row, swept last season, and then lost the finale game in the 2020 season. So it's going to be a tough opener for the Patriots, without a doubt. Take all the BS that's gone on, with training camp. Even if we were walking into this game, with the offense settled, I still would feel a little weary about playing the Dolphins, because I think they're a pretty talented team. And let's kind of start with the Dolphins. We'll look at their team, and then we'll jump over to the Patriots after. Miami had a pretty eventful offseason, but one that wasn't talked about as much, I don't think. They go out and acquire Tyreek Hill. They get another weapon on the offense for Tua. Jalen Waddle has already been there. Last year he really turned it on in the second half of the season, but their two games are pretty dynamic. They're not really comparable with each other. They work off of each other really well, though. Jalen Waddle being the more of the route runner, Keenan Allen down low, Tyreek Hill being more of the deep ball, deep shot, four receptions for 120 yards type player that you'll see all over the field at all times. So, that part of their offense, I think, is going to work really well. Should open the fields for them a lot, because they've got one of the better young route runners in the league in Jalen Waddle, and then one of the more established receivers or established deep route guys in Tyreek Hill to really work off of each other really well. And then their other two really big acquisitions on offense, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds. If you kind of look back on the Dolphins running back core over the years, they haven't really been able to get like an established guy. They had Miles Gaskin for a while. They still do, I think, but I think he is, kind of pushed down the depth chart. Duke Johnson last year, Salvin Ahmad. They've had a couple of guys that have been more so fill-ins than they have been established running backs. They haven't really spent any, significant draft picks on them. And so I think that was one important thing that they were looking to do this offseason, was trying to acquire a couple of backs for depth reasons, and also just to, again, help Tua out with, dump-off passes. Both of these guys, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, when they're healthy, are fantastic pass catchers. I think you'll see a lot of two-back sets tomorrow. Sunday. I think that's really the main reason that they went out and got those guys, because I think with a quarterback like Tua, who struggles with accuracy in the deep ball game, which we'll get to in a little bit, having those dump-off routes and being able to secure yards is really important. Especially with Tyreek Hill on that team, like I said, stretching the field is going to be really, really easy for them. So if they can get Tyreek Hill on some deep post routes, it's going to open and push the safeties back. It'll push everyone else back to have to cover the middle of the field. They'll have open routes to Edmonds and Mostert, who are really fast, really, have an absurd playmaking ability as a running back. So those three additions to me are really, really good. They fit the team really, really well. And the big thing, versus the Patriots is that, they're a very dynamic offense now, and they're facing a very young defense in New England. Obviously, we talked about in the last segment that, Jack Jones and Marcus Jones, they're going to have pretty sizable roles in week one. Whether they're out there every play, I don't think they will be. But either way, you're going to have them at some point covering the Jalen Waddles, the Cedric Wilson, the Tyreek Hills, whoever you want to put them on. They're going to have to do their job. And I think with however many weapons the Dolphins have, it's going to be a struggle for those young guys. More so a slap in the face in that transition from college to the NFL. So that's really big for me. The three acquisitions they made, they kind of made the acquisitions that we wish Belichick would make. Get the receiving help, get the dynamic playmakers for Mac to be able to work with. We obviously didn't do it. The Dolphins did. And, the look of their offense is honestly what I wish the Patriots offense looked like. So it'll be interesting to see them tomorrow. They're kind of, I believe they're running that same zone scheme that we're trying to get down. So we'll see if who runs it better. I'm going to put my money on the Dolphins, but maybe we can, take some notes and take some tips from them when they start to run it, and we can kind of get better at it ourselves. Let's move on to Tua. We can focus in on him a little bit. Honestly, I think he's kind of the saving grace for the Patriots. If you had more of a comparable quarterback to Mac Jones, I think you'd be in a little bit more trouble. to me, Mac Jones is like a whole tier above Tua. Just from what I've seen from Tua in the past, I don't think he's been able to establish himself as an NFL, you know, I don't want to say NFL starting quarterback, but he really hasn't made the jump that everyone's been expecting. He doesn't seem confident in his ability as a quarterback in the NFL. And one of the big things is that, you know, the acquisition of Tyreek Hill. If you had a quarterback like Justin Herbert, if you had a quarterback like even Justin Fields, that both throw the deep ball really, really well and really, really accurate. I think I'd be more inclined to say this team, you know, has Super Bowl aspirations. So if you replace, honestly, if you replace Fields or Tua with Fields, I think they get even closer to a Super Bowl than they are right now. Now, is that to say Fields is a better quarterback right now than Tua? No. But my point being, Tua struggles a lot with the deep ball. His stats last year, he only threw 18, 21-plus yard attempts, which, you know, if you're comparing that to some of the top quarterbacks, I mean, I think Kyler Murray had upwards of 50 deep balls. Now, you can, you know, look at the Dolphins roster and say they didn't have too many guys that were, you know, going to be running those deep routes, similar to Mac Jones. He didn't throw too many. He wasn't a great deep ball thrower anyway, but you can make the argument that they didn't have that many guys that could catch those deep routes anyway, so they wouldn't run them as much. But still, 18, 21-plus yard attempts for the entire year. That's give or take one a game, one deep ball a game, which is just crazy to think about. He hit at a 50% completion rate. Just to compare who was around him, he was tied with Sam Darnold at 14th in the league. And to me, when you're looking at Tyreek Hill and the dynamic guys that they have around Tua, you have to have a much, much better accuracy number than that to be able to, for me to say, you know what, this could be a scary offense. So to me, you know, even with the offense that Miami has, I think Tua kind of downgrades it a little bit right now. And until he shows that he can handle stretching the field, which is what Tyreek Hill is going to have them do, until he can, you know, be able to manage the game a little bit better, I think personally, you know, this is going to be what helps the Patriots the most. And if you can attack Tua and get him to throw the ball deep, which kind of leads us into the game plan for the Patriots, if you can get Tua to get rid of that ball to look downfield more, I think that's where you win the game. The big thing with the Patriots is they have to keep the ball out of the running back's hands. If you look back at the last three games that we've played, the Dolphins, the last three, we've lost all three of them. The running backs in those games have been absolutely insane for the Dolphins. And so one of the things you have to make sure is you just got to keep the ball out of the hands of the running backs. The last game we played on the 9th of January of 2022, Duke Johnson went 25 carries, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Game before that, earlier that season, Myles Gaskin, 9 for 49, we only lost by a point. So there you go. You contain the running back, you only lose by a point. And that game was, you know, we had that game won, obviously, with Harris with the fumble. So that, you know, even that, it's like, it shows. You keep the running back contained, you stay in the game. And then all the way back to December 20th of 2020, Salvin Ahmad, 23 attempts, 122 yards, and a touchdown. We lose that game by 10. So you can kind of see what I mean by that. Is like, anytime the running back on the Dolphins gets any considerable amount of yards, it seems like that's where we lose games. And so my, you know, main objective, if I'm Bill Belichick, is keep the ball out of Mostert's hands, keep the ball out of Edmonds' hands, let Tua test your safeties, let him test the deep ball to Tyreek Hill. You might think that's a crazy game plan to have. Why do you want the ball getting thrown to Tyreek Hill? But the thing is, you're not going to stop Hill. So you might as well try to use it to your advantage. I don't think Tua is confident in his deep ball based on some of the throws we've seen from him in training camp. It doesn't seem like he's improved that much. And it's one of the benefits of playing the Dolphins early. Tua probably hasn't found his groove yet with Hill. I'm sure Hill is still trying to find that chemistry with him. And it's still a question whether Tua can even get his deep ball accuracy down to a point where Hill still becomes that threat that he was with Mahomes. So that's what I think you have to do. Bait them into throwing that ball deep. get Tua uncomfortable in the pocket, get him moving, use your front seven, which I think is the toughest part of your defense, to pressure Tua and get him, you know, running around a little bit. And let him, you know, test your safeties in your secondary a little bit. I'm confident enough in our safety depth that I think, you know, with the inaccuracies Tua's dealt with, that you can get a couple turnovers from that game plan. And so I think you got to focus on the running backs. You got to make sure Edmonds and Mostert don't impact the game as much as they can, and as much as we've seen in Arizona with Edmonds and in San Francisco with Mostert. And that's where you have to start. And at that point, you know, if Tua's beating you deep, if Tyreek Hill's catching 260-yard bombs in the first half, maybe you look to switch it up, obviously. But I'm still suspect of Tua's ability to throw the ball deep, even with a bunch of training camp under his belt. I don't think that that is going to be the decider for the game. I think instead, Mostert and Edmonds, with their scheme that they're going to be running out of those two back sets, is going to be the issue. The main objective for the Patriots, for Belichick, has to be to get the ball out of Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert's hands, keep it out of their hands. Let Tua test you deep. He has not been able to establish himself as a good deep ball thrower. Like we listed earlier, his numbers are just not there. He doesn't have a high enough sample size for one. And even with his sample size being that small, he still wasn't able to reach that 60-65% mark that some quarterbacks, the good deep ball quarterbacks, Mahomes, Justin Fields, Kyler Murray, were able to hit. So I think that has to be your game plan. The weakest link on that Dolphins offense is Tua. And so don't let him dump off the football to Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, and let them, you know, make plays in the open field. Let Tua test you. Make Tua use his arm to beat you. I don't think he can. I think if you focus on that, you stand a really good chance in this game. To flip it over to the Patriots, the offense obviously has had a ton of question marks throughout training camp, throughout the preseason. It hasn't looked great. We don't want to harp on too much the zone scheme that they're trying to push forth. Obviously, that hasn't worked out too well. But I think the biggest thing, and it's something that Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston mentioned a number of times over the past week, is that Mac Jones is going to get the chance to kind of manage the game himself when he's at the line. So instead of, you know, whoever it may be, Matt Patricia, I don't know who's calling the plays on offense, but instead of them relaying the play and Mac Jones having to just kind of run it in training camp or in preseason, I think Mac Jones gets obviously more freedom in the NFL regular season. He may see something and he can flip the play, he can switch it up. I think that is one thing that's going to be the biggest change from the training camp in the preseason to the regular season. And Mac Jones showed last year that he's really, really good game manager, specifically in that Buffalo game, obviously only throwing, I think it was two passes. But he's able to decipher and he's able to dissect defenses better than a lot of second-year and rookie quarterbacks can do. And I think that's one big advantage that the Patriots are going to have. Since Tom Brady's absence, Belichick has obviously kept that kind of attitude in the locker room. It's more about, you know, managing the game, finding the weaknesses. He's kind of stayed away from the new age game, whether you disagree with that or not. Mac Jones has that same thought process. So I think that is the biggest thing that the Patriots are going to have over the Dolphins, Mac Jones being able to manage the game. The offense, you know, compared to last year, you know, the addition of DeVante Parker, when he's healthy and on the field for a full season, I think he's up there with the top 25 to 30 wide receivers in the game. Some people might disagree, but, you know, you can look at his numbers when he's been healthy and when he's been thriving. And he's a really, really good receiver. And the reports out of camp, the reports, out of preseason are that he's, you know, played really, really well with Mac Jones and he's developed that chemistry. So you've already got your wide receiver one there, which we didn't really have last year. And then, you know, the collection of Kendrick Bourne, obviously, hopefully he can, fix whatever is going on with him. Jacoby Myers, you've got a lot of kind of those wide receiver threes, maybe not twos quite yet, that can help supplement the offense enough, I think. But the biggest thing for me is I think you're going to have to rely on the strengths, at least where the offense is right now. I think, you know, it's kind of a mess, and I think it's going to be a mess if you try to attack the Dolphins with this new scheme that you've been trying to run. I think the biggest thing for the Patriots is they just have to focus on what won them games last year, and that was the run game. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, both two established running backs in the league already. I'm confident saying that Ramondre Stevenson, even just being in his second year, would start on a lot of different teams in the league. And Damian Harris has been around. He'll, you know, get paid this offseason. Rumors that he's, you know, might be traded, but whatever, he's going to be on the team week one. He's a great running back. You've got two guys that could both see 16, 17 carries a game. And I think that's kind of got to be the game plan going in. Run it early, run it hard. If the, you know, Dolphins start to sell out for the run, maybe you test out that deep ball that you have hoped Mac Jones has kind of developed, and what you've wanted him to develop over the past couple of months. And you've got the receivers to do it. So, again, offensively, the Patriots are probably going to struggle on Sunday. I don't think there's any way around it. Like Greg Bedard said, you know, there's not really an argument to be made that they've looked good. It's not an opinion to say the Patriots have looked bad. It's more so a fact. I think that was a quote on the radio by Bedard. And so that, you know, that's true. You can't really argue that the Patriots have looked good in any matter in training camp or the preseason. So if you're looking at, you know, a weak team right now, kind of a confused team headed into week one, you simply have to rely on your strengths. And the strengths has been the run game. It was the strength last season. You've got two established running backs, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. You've got Ty Montgomery, who might play. It's kind of a question whether he's going to play or not. You know, he's a veteran guy that can catch out of the backfield. He can supplement the James White role that you've lost, obviously, with White retiring. And so I think that's where you've got to lean. Don't let Miami dictate the game. You have to manage it. Mac Jones has to manage it. And again, if you've got the opportunities to go deep, try it out. Because with the absence of Byron Jones, who won't be there tomorrow Sunday, because of his injury, that's the Dolphins' number two corner. So they've already become really weak at the secondary position. This might be the game where you can catch the Dolphins slipping. Otherwise, the Dolphins have one of the best secondaries in the league, in my opinion. And so with the absence of Byron Jones, you know, that's where you might be able to attack more rookie or younger cornerbacks that are going to have to fill in for him. That would be my game plan for the Patriots on offense. We've kind of already talked about what they should be doing on defense. Time, you know, for my prediction, I have the Patriots winning. I think you're going to see somewhat of a low-scoring game. I'm going to go 17-13, Patriots win it. Again, I don't have any confidence that Tua, this early on in the season, is going to have enough chemistry with Tyreek to get the deep ball going. And that's one of Tyreek Hill's, you know, the biggest part of his game. That's where he accelerates. And so if you can really limit Tyreek's impact on the game, obviously you stand a much better chance of winning. I think Belichick has zeroed in on that. I think he knows Tua is not a great deep ball passer, and that's what's going to win them the game, in my opinion. I think Tua throws a couple picks. I think Mac Jones understands that you win the turnover battle, you keep the ball in your hands, you run up the time of possession, and you steal a touchdown or two, you get a field goal or two, and the defense can go do their thing. And, obviously once you start getting up in the game, Tua's going to have to throw more, and that's when the process starts. So that's what I see. I think they kind of sell out early to stop the run. I think they make Tua make a couple of mistakes. They hop on the mistakes, and we get out of there unscathed, up 1-0, headed to Pittsburgh for the Week 2 matchup. That's my opinion. You know, it's going to be a close game. I could be very wrong with my prediction. The line right now is Miami -3. So Miami's the favorite in this game. I don't really blame people for thinking they're the favorite, but I'm just thinking, you know, Tua's ability to throw deep is going to be challenged early by Belichick, and I don't think he's going to succeed with it. I think he'll falter. When the lights are shining, I don't think he'll be able to fulfill that role that Patrick Mahomes obviously had with Tyreek Hill. That's the biggest thing. You know, Hill's going from Mahomes to Tua, and the talent gap is immense there, obviously. So that's my prediction. Let me know what you guys think. On our page, be sure to follow us, Entering Titletown. That's all one word. This is the Patriots preview, week one preview. Like I said, we'll have our regular episode out a couple of days later. That'll do it for me. I'm Jordan Haddock. I've been your host of Title Talk, and I'll see you guys next week. She said, I think I'm gonna Boston.